come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do, eh?
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us.
Food is our medicine, really.
I
like to think that way and eat that way.
Today's guest is Danielle Orr. You might know Danielle from KHSU. She's a volunteer here. And what you might not know about Danielle Orr is that she raises some of her own food. Danielle, did you grow up around gardens and chickens and all that sort of thing?
I didn't.
What sorts of things then influenced you to take that turn?
I lived through the 1992 earthquakes down in Ferndale, and I saw in an instant how all of a sudden there was nothing. And that was the last kicker for me as far as, oh, wow, it's an important thing to support local farming and, you know, be blessed to live in a place where we have a lot of that. So. Mm-hmm.
And to be able to take care of yourself, it seems like.
Yeah.
So you've had chickens over the years. How did that come about?
Chickens and ducks. Well, I wanted our kids to experience raising animals, and then we got to eat the eggs, and I wanted them to have, you know, fresh eggs right from the garden.
Did you ever raise meat chickens, or you were pretty
Never
much
did
into
meat.
Egg?
Yes. Okay. I was born a vegetarian just like that. It took me until I was about 29 to be able to introduce any kind of meat or fish into my diet. I've done that. Now I can eat some meat and fish. But no, they were my friends and suppliers of eggs only.
And they retired to a old chicken's home somewhere.
Well, actually, it's an interesting story because we'll be talking about berries, but my last chicken, she got really old, stopped laying eggs, and she would come up on the deck every afternoon, and I would give her one berry from my garden and a piece of cat food, and then she would come into my kitchen. I'd have the slider open, and she'd just stand by me when she wanted to go to bed, and it was earlier and earlier every day, and I put her in a box in the garage so she was completely safe. And one morning, she just didn't wake up, but she lived on those one berry a day
and a piece of cat food
for a long time.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it went out peacefully, though, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk a little bit about berries now, because I understand berries are one of your primary interests.
Passions.
Yeah. And what sorts of berries do you grow?
So I have tay berries, which is a cultivated shrub of the Rosaceae family, which I don't think a lot of people know that berries and roses are of the same family. It's a Rubus X. And this is a berry bred in Scotland in 1962, and it's a cross between a blackberry and a raspberry. David Jennings and David Mason were the cultivars of this berry, and it's a beautifully long, looks a little bit like a raspberry at first, but then it elongates and darkens up, and just a delicious, high-yield berry.
Now, is it as invasive as, say, the...
All berries are very invasive.
Himalayan blackberry that I think everybody knows, if you've ever gotten it anywhere that you didn't want it, it's almost impossible to get rid of.
Berries are really impossible. You have to really get them out at the root. You know, people who weed whack or mow are propagating berries. And so they're hard to deal with. I come in every fall. Part of the joy of growing the berries is the cycle of the year. So I put my berries in and then I make trellises for them. And every fall after they're done fruiting, I come in and I cut off the old canes, pull all the weeds, put down new hay. And then I really don't have to do anything till the spring when I start watering, when I see the first signs of berries.
You just kind of put them to bed for the winter and then in the spring they start coming up again.
Absolutely.
So the tay berries, they sound really good. It's cross between a blackberry and a raspberry.
Yeah, and you know, they're a sweeter, larger, and very aromatic berry, sweeter than loganberries. Loganberry's the closest thing, I think, but not as many of those are being grown, I don't think.
What other berries do you grow?
I also have a thornless Waldo berry, which is a joy in the berry patch because it's thornless.
Thornless berry sounds wonderful. Oh, yeah, you've got some scratches on your arm here, Danielle.
I was in there yesterday. It is fall, so I'm in like the last cutback of my berries and the last weeding for the fall season.
But you didn't get those cuts from the Waldo berry,
no.
right?
No. Okay. Waldoberry. So Waldo is a thornless cultivar, and it was released in 1989. It has a firm fruit. It's a very dark berry. It's a later berry than the Tay berry. So what I also do is pace out my berries. I have blueberries as well. So I have early blueberries, late blueberries, and then early berries, and the Waldo's a later berry. Really thrives in the sun and the heat, and you have to really wait. Takes a lot of patience for them to get black, shiny, and really delicious.
Sometimes I find that the animals have found them right at that stage, right? That when I say tomorrow I'm going to go pick, I find that they've picked during the night.
They're good helpers. I know. I don't have too big a problem. People ask me that quite a bit, and for some reason, I don't have a big animal problem. I'm in McKinleyville in a neighborhood, so that's one thing. I do have critters come in, but I always in my mind think, okay, I'm offering up some of these to whichever animals. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, it's part of your, you factor
so I don't
it
mind.
In. Yeah.
It's such a high yield anyway. I'd have to have a bear come in to really wipe me out.
Yeah. I'm thinking too, it's really nice to hear about the berries because I think it provides something in the garden. It's something I don't have in my garden is fruit. I have a vegetable garden, but I don't have a fruit garden. So it's nice to hear about you able to provide a lot of your own fruit. How many berry plants do you have, would you say?
So I have 2 Waldo berries, 1 Tay berry, and then I have about 7 blueberries. So I have a complete freezer full of berries by the end of summer, and that's after sharing and using
eating. And knowing that you have that much in your freezer, I thought you were going to say, I have 100 Waldo berries. And
it doesn't take many, no.
And so how big of an area would you say you have your berries on?
So I have them against 1 fence in my backyard. So you just take a normal backyard, and I don't have a huge garden, but ample enough to grow a few berries. And it's a south-facing fence, so I get all the summer sun. Planting berries in your warmest part of your garden is the best thing to do.
Okay. So like a typical city lot against the fence, if you've got a south-facing fence, and that's enough space to grow enough berries to fill your freezer and to give away to friends.
Yes.
That's amazing. What sort of soil do berries need?
Well, the chickens, I had chickens and ducks, like you mentioned. So I had lots of chickens running around and the ducks and composted. So I'm not a special gardener. I really, use the compost, got my garden to a place where it seemed great. And we have great soil around here unless you've got clay. And then I just bring in some amendments once a year. I'm not in there all the time. So they need good drainage. They like the full sun. They like air. They need to be propped up in some way. Weeds are considered a pest to berries. If you have them nice and aerated, then you have less pest problems of any kind, including weeds. You need to get in there and weed.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. Now, what sorts of things do you like to make with your berries?
Well, I like to have them in smoothies. I like to have frozen berries. I freeze most of them and then use them through the year. I run out by the time my next ones are starting to fruit. And I love my berries in a bowl of cereal. And I like to make pies or cobblers. Smoothies, mostly what we do in the winter is make a smoothie in the morning.
And now you're also interested in the antioxidant qualities of berries.
I am.
Tell me about that.
I learned that the darker the berry, they have something called an anthocyanin, and that is a flavonoid, one of the bioflavonoids. The darker the berry, so when you're eating dark berries, you are potentially increasing your health. And I think that's really important. There have been studies done that showed that the anthocyanins can work against aging and neurological diseases, inflammation, diabetes, lung issues, you know, asbestos poisoning or things like that, and cancer.
And it's great that something that is so good for you is so good to eat.
Well, that's how it is. Food is our medicine, really.
I
like to think that way and eat that way.
Danielle, what would you say to somebody who's thinking about growing berries?
I think we should all have a berry or two in our backyard. Get a nice corner, dig up a hole, get berry canes. They're in most of the nurseries throughout the spring season or maybe even late winter. Put a berry in. You have to be really religious about cutting it back, and that's it. And then lots of water. And I think we all should have berries.
That's great. Well, this is Jennifer Bell, and I've had a nice conversation with Danielle Orr talking about her berries.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.